Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. They're the exclusive distributor of Master Meter AMI-AMR technology. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. This is our second of three episodes sponsored by EOM Operations that is focused on customer cities of theirs in the coastal Georgia region. Today, we visit a small town that is in an area whose roots go back to the very founding of the state of Georgia, and we talk with a mayor whose family has roots there that go back almost as far as that. We're going to go talk with Mayor Barty Alderman in the small town of Springfield, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. But life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by Koch Industries. Just like the great small towns we feature on Small Town Podcast, every great company has a story. From its humble beginnings starting out in Middle America in the 1960s, Koch Industries has become one of the largest privately held companies in the nation and has achieved an international presence in 50 countries around the globe. The companies of Koch Industries create innovations in transportation, medical care, water filtration, building materials, household goods, and so many other products and technologies that impact our lives every day. You can see more of the Koch story, both where they've come from and where they're going, by visiting kochind.com/podcast. All right, we're now in the city of Springfield. I'm joined by the mayor of Springfield. We're actually in City Hall in one of the very nice, recently redone offices at City Hall in Springfield. Mayor Barty Alderman is joining me. So, Mayor Alderman, thanks for joining me on Small Town Podcast.
Welcome to Springfield, Mr. Mayor.
Well, thank you very much. Looking forward, you've already given me some good stories, some of which we're not even going to do on this recording, but some great things in Springfield. But I'll start where I start with everybody else. Were you born in Springfield, Georgia?
No, I was not. I was born in a small town, Guyton, Georgia, about 5 miles from Springfield.
Okay, still same county?
Same county.
That's right, we're in Effingham County near the Savannah area. So born in Guyton, where'd you go to school? And
went to school, Springfield Elementary School.
Guyton didn't have an elementary school? You had to
I was raised on a farm.
Had to come all the way to Springfield.
About 3 miles out of Springfield.
Yeah.
Went to Effingham County High School.
Okay. What'd you do after you graduated?
After I graduated, I went to Middle Georgia College. Then I went to the University of Georgia.
Okay. What'd you get a degree in at UGA?
Political science.
Oh, look at you. You were starting to be a politician right from the get-go.
I'm one of the few people that actually uses their degree.
Now, what did you plan to do with that degree? What did you end up doing right out of college?
Went to work for a wholesale hardware company in Savannah.
Okay.
And worked with them until they went out of business.
Now, they're, I mean, right nearby. So was it always your plan to come back this way after college, or did you look at maybe going some other places?
It was always my ambition to come back. I moved away in 75, working for this hardware company as a salesman. I was actually based in Cordele, Georgia.
Oh, okay.
You're familiar with.
Yeah,
since
yeah,
you're
it's not too
Osceola.
Far from Osceola.
I lived there for 3 years, got a promotion with the company, and moved back to Springfield.
Okay.
And continued to work for the company until they went out of business in 83.
You were in Cordele. Were you angling for a way to get back to Springfield, or is that just kind of the way things worked out?
More or less, I was angling for a way to get
okay,
back.
Okay, okay. It was your goal from the beginning.
Always my goal.
Always to come home. What were some of your, because now not everybody, when they graduate high school and go off to college, makes it their goal to come back. So what is it about Guyton, Springfield, Effingham County, just this whole area that kind of made it something you want to come back to?
And my family has lived here since 1730s.
Wow, okay.
You know, we own family property. I just love the area.
So you guys are here from the very beginning.
Yeah.
1730s.
From the very beginning.
Yeah. All right. So you were doing that, you were involved in that business in Savannah, but you moved to Springfield, or what was
the... No, I lived in Springfield, and I commuted every day.
Okay.
It was about a 25-mile drive.
So there was no thought of living in the big city of Savannah?
No. No, the big city of Savannah is nothing like Atlanta, but it's still much bigger than Springfield.
That's right. You go there to work, and then come back home.
And then come home as fast as I could.
Having the rearview mirror.
Right.
And coming back home, it sounds like you were already involved and engaged, you know, just growing up here and had, obviously, a long line of family from here, so well-established. What were some of the things you got involved in before? Obviously, you got involved in local government from an elected stance, but what were some of the things you got involved in community-wise before that?
Well, I've always been a big worker in my church. Even when I was living in Cordele, I came home almost every weekend, worked with the church, and really didn't think of anything about running for any kind of office until I believe it was 1992. And I ran for a seat on the local school board. Either fortunately or unfortunately, I was defeated then.
Probably seemed unfortunate at the time, but I've talked to plenty of people that have done school board and said, man, this is a lot more than I thought it would be.
And I thought that my political career was over, but then in 2001, our mayor and two council members in Springfield resigned suddenly, and I was appointed to fill an unexpired term. It was, I believe, about 8 to 10 months.
Okay.
And at the end of that term, I decided to run for my own term.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and I believe it was 2003, I was mayor pro tem, and the mayor at the time resigned suddenly in the middle mm-hmm. of a meeting. So.
In the middle of a meeting.
In the middle of a meeting.
Unexpectedly.
I had to gather all my papers and move to the mayor's seat and take over presiding. And I was mayor from 2003 until my term ended January 1st, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were some issues with the mayor at that time that I'd rather not get into.
Okay.
But he resigned his office, and I ran to fill his unexpired term, and I've been here ever since.
Now, I'm going to respect you not wanting to get into the details, but I just heard you got into council because the mayor and two council members resigned back in, you said, in the 90s? 90, you said, what year was that?
2001.
Oh, it was 2001. I thought when you first got on council?
When I first got on council.
Okay, okay, sorry. And then after that, a mayor resigned when you were mayor pro tem. So mayors tend to resign around here.
I was told in 2009 when I decided not to run for re-election that I was the first mayor in almost 40 years that had filled out a term.
Finished out.
Don't know how
that
true
term.
That is. That was a kind of a word of mouth type thing.
Well, that's good. You broke whatever curse it was that did that. So when you were appointed
right.
to fill what was left of a council seat, what was your, obviously, and maybe it was because small town and you were from a family that had been here a long time, you're well established. What do you think it was, or maybe they didn't tell you, that made them want to choose you to come on the council? Had you expressed some ambition about, you know, wanting to serve in that role, or what was it that got them to pick you, you think?
I had shown a little interest. I had come to a few council meetings, obviously not all of them, because I was employed, but I had been coming to some council meetings and showed some interest.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Springfield was much smaller than it is now, about 2,600 people. We're almost 4,000 now. So I was one of the few people that did show any interest. They had to appoint a new mayor and had to appoint two new council members. So they I guess, scrounged the neighborhood and found the three best candidates.
And what was it? Maybe it was just kind of that experience of, you said, about 8 or 9 months was remaining in that term.
Right.
And then you decided to run again. So what was it that kind of led you to want to continue?
The more I was in it, the more I enjoyed it, the more I thought that I could offer to the citizens. And obviously, politics has always appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the major
in political
science. Yeah, you got a
degree in political science. You wanted to get into this.
So, and my grandfather had been chairman of the county commission way back in the early 1900s.
Uh-huh.
My father was vice chairman of the county commission. So politics sort of ran in my family.
Right.
And
at least on the county side.
At least on the county side. That was a little bigger step than I was prepared to take, though.
Yeah, yeah. What were some of the, at the time, and obviously things probably changed moving forward, maybe some of the things that, if you wanted to step out and be a local leader, or at least were willing to serve when we're asked and then decided to continue in that, what were some of the issues that you felt like you could contribute to? What were some of the things going on that you wanted to see changed, or, you know, anything along those lines?
Well, at the time, we were having a severe conflict, and I understand from talking with other mayors and other council members, there were severe conflicts between the municipalities mm-hmm. and the county government.
Okay.
And I thought...
That happens from time to
time. I thought, being such a reasonable person, that I would be maybe the great compromiser.
Yeah.
Could help see things both ways and possibly smooth things over, make county and city government easier for all of us.
Now, I've already said we're in Effingham County. We've actually named a couple cities, but how many incorporated cities are in Effingham County?
There are three cities, Springfield, okay. Rincon, and Guyton.
Okay. And so in your early efforts to try to smooth things over, were you able to feel like you made some progress there?
Some very slight progress, but for every 3 steps forward, we took 2 back. And or it may be the other way around, 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. I'm not sure.
Depends on the issue.
Depends on the issue.
How are things now? That was in the early days of your career. Are things still, and I don't want you to give any dirt on anybody.
We don't work as well together as I would like to see. I think certain entities on certain projects may work better, but I don't think we have an overall sense of cooperation throughout the county. We may have 2 municipalities that work well on an issue like on fire safety.
Mm-hmm.
2 other municipalities may work well on police departments. The county and a municipality may work together well on transportation issues, but we don't seem to be able to get the 4 entities to work as well together as I had hoped, you know, 18, 19 years ago.
This is not an uncommon problem. This is something that comes up, and there are some cities and counties that work together great. But more often the case is that there's some kind of tension between, you know, people are competing for resources. What do you think is the biggest thing that seems to be the obstacle to that, you know, smooth collaboration?
In some cases, I think it's trust. In some other cases, I think possibly it's an effort for control. I really have a hard time putting my finger on any one reason.
Yeah. Well, I hope you'll continue to try to have that increased collaboration, because it's certainly something that we all could be doing better working together.
Lost negotiations, that's the local option sales tax
right.
negotiations,
yeah.
Just simply working on how we split that. That's based on the census every 10 years, and we have to split up the lost revenue. We seem to fight about who gets the bigger slice of the pie.
Right.
Whereas if we work together, my argument's always been, fight for a bigger pie.
Yeah, that's right.
Work together. We all get a larger slice regardless of how it's split.
Yeah, if we grow that economic development piece.
And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the things, and I actually want to make sure I got the timeline right. Now, you were appointed to the council in 2001.
Right.
And then became the mayor in 2003 and served several years, and then decided not to run for re-election as mayor in 2009. So in 2010, you came off and were not in an elected position at all. But then you came back in 2011 and then have been the mayor ever since. Do I have that?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. I want to make sure I got that right. So you had a little bit of a break in service, but were probably still pretty involved. I imagine you didn't just sit at home. And
No, I came to not all of the council meetings, but I came to most of the council meetings just as a taxpayer and a citizen, an interested citizen of Springfield.
So with you just setting aside that year and a half where you weren't officially in an elected position, you've been in elected office in Springfield for quite some time. What are some of the successes? What are some of the things that you were able to be a part of? Now, I know you're going to tell me that it was the staff and it was a team effort, but you were obviously at the helm for these things. So what are some of the things that Springfield's accomplished since then?
One of the things before 2009, when I decided not to run again, all we had was a small local grocery store. There's a bypass, a four-lane bypass just outside the city, but it does include property in the city limits. We got a Harvey's grocery store there. We had to take some action, but managed to get a grocery store, and I've been told that that was one of my greatest feats. Also, there was an old movie theater in downtown Springfield that I think it opened in the early 1940s, closed in the 1950s. I can remember going there as a child.
Are you talking about the Mars?
The Mars.
Because I drove through town. Yeah, yeah.
And it had been decrepit. The front of it was used as offices. It was a consignment shop. But everybody had moved out, and the theater was in terrible shape. So privately owned, we had a couple of choices. It was in such bad shape. Either we could force the owners to renovate, or we could force them to tear it down. A couple of the council members came to me and said, well, why don't we buy it and renovate it? And I said, you're crazy. Do you have any idea what shape it's in and how much it would cost? But we walked over there and looked at it, and there was standing water probably 2 to 3 feet deep in front of the stage.
Yeah.
You could look up through the roof and see the sky. The walls had cracks in them, but they talked me into it. I began to see the potential. So we bought it, renovated it for approximately $1 million.
Wow.
Had some live shows, but mainly it was a movie theater. Then a couple of years ago, it had become so successful that we decided we needed more than simply a shell of a building with a movie screen and a small stage. So we put an addition on the back. We doubled the size of the stage. We put offices. We put storage. Added a few other features to it. And now it's really taken off. We have a good many concerts there. Movies are obviously still the main draw, but we do have concerts that are usually they're sold out. It's the only movie theater in the county. So we have a pretty sizable draw. One thing I used to do, I don't do it quite as much now, but I would go to some of the concerts and just stand in the line at the concession stand and talk with people anonymously. I wouldn't tell them I'm the mayor. I just wanted their opinion, honest opinion.
Then they didn't know who you were?
No. And we'd talk about the movie or about the theater and about the acoustics and the charm of the theater. And everything I heard was positive. People loved it. And talking with people, you know, just about where they were from, we had people from South Carolina, from, I think we've had people from Tennessee, Virginia.
Wow.
You know, people follow some of these groups almost all over the country.
Yeah.
But it really amazed me. There are some subdivisions over in South Carolina, probably 30 to 40 miles away, that when we have concerts, they have a pretty large contingent that shows up for them.
Wow.
So we are attracting more than just Effingham County citizens.
Yeah.
We do have a regional appeal. We have the best popcorn in the county. I'm a little proud of that.
There's your claim to fame right there.
Well, I eat my share of the popcorn. But we have a regional appeal. We have a charm. The price on movies, people are amazed at the admission costs. They say, we can bring the whole family to a movie in Springfield, and it's a first-run movie, and we can do that for the same price we'd have to pay in Savannah to take the whole family.
Well, we'll go ahead and do an advertisement. What's the admission price for a movie? And I saw it. I think it's the Spider-Man Far From Home is currently playing now. That's a pretty recent film.
Correct. So, I saw it Friday night, and it's
$7. $7 to get in. Okay. All right. And the best popcorn in the entire county.
And the best popcorn in the county.
That's a pretty good endorsement.
So my wife and I can get a popcorn, two Cokes, and two admissions for $19.
That's not bad.
And you can't do that anywhere else that I know of.
No. Not in the big city, for sure.
And when we were looking at the renovation, we went through the price on the sound system, the projector, the seats, and we had options. We could spend X number of dollars for this, or we could buy cheaper. And council decided, you know, hey, you only get one chance to make a first impression. So we tried to go as good as we could.
Yeah.
We bought the top of the line in everything.
Yeah. Well, it certainly sounds like from the crowds you're drawing from as far away as they're coming that you've definitely done something that's brought some people to downtown Springfield. Now, what year was that that you opened it for the first time? That probably took a while to work on if it was in that terrible shape.
I think it was 5 years ago.
Okay.
Time flies when you get old.
But, yeah, 2014, 2015, somewhere in that time
somewhere
frame.
Somewhere in that time
Well,
frame.
I passed it because I just got here a little early, so I got a chance to drive around and noticed it really quickly. So it looks good. Definitely brings a good bit to your downtown.
We have a program called Friends of the Mars. People can make contributions, and once a year we have a reception, a dinner for the Friends of the Mars.
Well, that's really cool.
That, you know, we just try to show appreciation to the citizens that give us the most support.
Well, good. You actually mentioned, I think, some other things that have been going on downtown with just kind of revitalizing your downtown. So what are some of the other things in addition to that? That seems like that's your cornerstone right there, and that's a great part of downtown. But what else has been going on?
Over the last several years, we've gotten two grants from the Department of Transportation, enhancement grants for a streetscape. We've gotten approximately half of the city's main street with nice lights, brick sidewalks, just a general upgrade. We were informed several months ago that we have another grant pending from the DOT to finish the streetscape. Several years ago, well, I think about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we had a furniture store, a large furniture store that closed on Main Street. It was actually put up for auction, and the city bought it because we didn't want to see some things go in there. We wanted to have a little more control. Unfortunately, the city cannot do certain things, you know, to get rid of the property, we'd have to auction it. So we set up a downtown development authority and turned the property over to them, and they're currently working with developers to put a development in a 25,000 square foot building. Just across the street from that, we had, in my childhood, it was a Chevrolet dealership. It went through several other things. It was the Western Auto at one time. Then it became a batting practice building where they set up batting cages for an inside utility. And recently it changed hands, and now it's a private event center. And all this has happened within the last couple of months, the event center.
Wow.
It's been very well received. So, you know, we're working on Main Street, trying to upgrade it, beautify, bring businesses to downtown Springfield, hopefully draw restaurants, just generally improve life in downtown for Springfield.
Yeah, no, it sounds like the efforts there are starting to pay off already, because that theater is a big thing, and then you're not just stopping there. So doing some beautification projects and some other development. So, man, and that's all under your leadership. You get to take credit for all of that.
I'll pass it off to staff.
They're the ones that do the work, I know.
They're the ones that do the work. I just come into City Hall every day and say, do you need me for anything? They say no, and I say, call me if you need me.
That's right.
That's about my participation.
All right, I want to talk more about some of the things going on in Springfield, but before we switch to more specific Springfield assets and activities, I have a segment that's starting to get famous. It's the get to know you questions I ask. And you actually mentioned you've listened to a couple of the episodes of the podcast. So you should be prepared for all of these. So for those that don't know Barty Alderman and would like to, maybe people that know you but don't know the answer to these questions, they'll get to know you a little better. So first question, do you have or have you ever had a nickname?
My nickname is Barty.
Well, it's because it's Barton.
Yeah. Right. My real name is Barton, and I've been Barty all my life.
I actually had to ask a couple of times. Someone said it's Barty, and I kept thinking I was hearing Marty, but they said, no, his name's Barton, and it's Barty.
Right.
And I should mention this because we talked about this. Your last name's Alderman.
Correct.
And when you were on council, I call it council, are your council members called council members, or are they actually called aldermen?
Called council members, but occasionally the mayor would call on me to offer an invocation or lead the pledge to the flag, and he'd say, Alderman, would you lead the pledge?
In our city charter in Osceola, it still actually says Alderman, and I know there's a lot of them like that, and we've just kind of changed to where everyone refers to them as council members, but I was
curious. We've always been council members.
I know you said you've been referred to as Alderman before, but now it's Mayor Alderman. So.
Right.
All right, next question. What is your go-to karaoke song? If you had to enter a karaoke contest to defend the honor of Springfield, what would your karaoke song be? Long pause.
Very long pause. If you heard me sing, you'd know why I pause on this.
That's all right. That's part of the beauty of karaoke. It's not about the quality of it. It's just about the fun.
Well, it wouldn't be fun. Believe me, I'd, I'd wipe out a bar with my voice.
But what song would you do it with?
Probably Georgia on My Mind.
Georgia on My Mind. All right. Next question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Fried shrimp.
Fried shrimp. He was ready on that one. Karaoke song took a minute, though. All right, fried shrimp, coastal Georgia.
I eat better than I sing.
That's why you were ready for that one. All right, and if you could attend any concert of any singer, group, any performer, whether they are dead or alive, what concert would you want to attend?
Probably Elvis.
Elvis Presley. I assume it's Elvis Presley. If you
Elvis said Presley. Elvis. Is there any other?
Well, you know, some people say Elvis Costello, but, you know, I figure when you just say Elvis,
have
it's
you heard
Elvis
him
Presley.
Sing?
All right. I want to take this opportunity to again thank EOM Operations for their sponsorship of this 3-episode series of Small Town Podcast, including this episode highlighting the small town of Springfield, Georgia. Here's EOM's Director of Municipal Operations, Charles Haino, talking about EOM's relationship with the city of Springfield.
Our relationship with Springfield started in 2014. It started very basically as an assessment that turned into a consulting contract where we focused on compliance, and now we do full operations with them.
Now, you might expect the company to have nice things to say about their relationship with the customer, but what does the customer have to say about EOM, you might ask? Let's ask Springfield Mayor Barty Alderman.
The former city manager and I looked at personnel for our wastewater treatment plant, for our water and for our entire water and sewer department, and got to looking around about could we outsource some of this? What would it do for us? The city manager did a little bit of research, did a little digging, and came up with EOM as a very highly respected group that had done work in a lot of other areas we were familiar with. We asked them for a contract, and we've never looked back. They've done a good job for us so far. I appreciate their monthly reports they give us. We get them on a timely basis. It's kind of interesting to look through them. They keep us abreast of certain things that otherwise I'd have to dig through records. For example, our percent utilization of our water allocation. If we see a spike in our water usage, they always come back. They always know how to respond. They know what caused it. They know how to correct it. If it was a seasonal blip, they've just done a good job for us so far. If you're looking for somebody that can help you save money and increase your efficiency in your water and sewer department, EOM is the company to go with.
If you think your city, large or small, might benefit from better, more efficient operations, look into EOM Operations. You can learn more at www.eomworks.com. That's EOMWORX.com. Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm. And now back to our episode. All right, well, I want to talk more specifically about the small town of Springfield. You talked about, because it was something, a project that you were directly involved in with the revitalization of the Mars Theater and some other things sounds like going on downtown, so that's exciting. But what are some of the things that maybe were already going on that just make Springfield unique? And I imagine there's some historic angle because we're in coastal Georgia. It's kind of where Georgia got started. So I'm sure Springfield and Effingham County have some things to offer in that regard.
Well, the city of Springfield goes back to 1799. It was designated the county seat in 1799 by the state legislature simply because it's the center of the county, the geographic center of the county. Mm-hmm. And Effingham County goes back to 1734 with the settlement of Ebenezer, the town of Ebenezer, mm-hmm. which is a dead town of Georgia, but there's still a church there, Lutheran church, that's been active. The church, I think, was completed in 1769, and they still have services there.
Wow.
So we have the history in the county that can bring people in. We have Ebenezer Creek that runs past Ebenezer, the old town of Ebenezer. And it's, I understand, a major kayaking and a canoe destination. There's at least one company that offers the kayaking tours of the creek. The city owns property on the creek. We were deeded some property that through the Department of Natural Resources and the Georgia Conservancy, we took ownership of the property just to keep it from being developed. Hopefully, we can work on a green space between the city of Springfield and the Savannah River along Ebenezer Creek. We had hoped to do walking trails, but there's so much private property and trying to get right-of-ways
coordination of all that
people from the owners, and you know, some people would make the assumption we're trying to condemn their property or we want their property when all we want is a narrow easement just for a walking trail along the creek. So preservation is the main thing, and it's not about ownership of property. It's just trying to preserve the creek and bring people in, because people that come in to Effingham County to kayak along the creek, they're going to spend money. They have to stay somewhere. They have to eat somewhere. They have to buy gas. If it's nothing but stop by the closest convenience store and get a beer for the drive home, you know, the people do spend money. We do other things to try to bring people into Springfield other than the Morris Theater. We have a living history museum that's centered around the old county jail. The county turned it over to the County Historic Society, to the Effingham County, several years ago and turned it into the county museum. Then a few years later, the city leased some property just behind the museum, the jail museum. We leased that to the Historic Society, and once a year, I think it's in April, they have what they called Old Effingham Day, that they open up. There are several old buildings from the county. There's an old schoolhouse, an old railroad depot.
I actually passed that because when I was driving around, I saw that. Now, I would assume those buildings, that's not where they originally sat. They've moved them from other locations
throughout the county, but it's all been documented that it's all historic. It's no recreations. It's all
right. No,
actual
historic buildings. Looked, I mean, I'm not an expert, but they looked authentic to me. What kind of, because you said it's an old schoolhouse, and I saw the old jail that was part of the museum, and that was like the Welcome Center. But what are some of the other structures? Because it seemed like several right there in one place.
There's an old, it was a summer house that my mother's uncle and aunt actually owned.
Oh, wow.
But the family, their family donated the house. It was the summer home for this family. It was out, actually out in the field. My mother and her cousins, I heard them, they were way up in their 90s, mid-90s. When I heard them talking about it, they remembered spending the nights, the girls spending the nights, hot summer nights out in the summer house.
Yeah.
But we have that home, several old barns. And on the old Effingham Day, we bring in vendors, have a car show. There are blacksmiths in there. They make wood shingles. People have old-fashioned steam engines that run log splitters to make firewood. They use the same setup to make shingles, wood shingles for homes. It's a pretty fun day. Then in the fall, we shut down Main Street right in front of City Hall for about three blocks. And we have our fall festival. We have major groups that come in. We put a stage right in front of City Hall. This year it's on November the 9th, and our featured group is Little Texas. If you've never heard that group, come to Springfield and listen to them. We have the whole street is dedicated to vendors. You can buy almost anything you want. All of the downtown shops are open. I had been hunting some glasses to match some old family heirloom glasses. Hunted all over the internet, hunted all over antique shops in the southeast. Went in this local shop in Springfield during one of our fall festivals, and there were six of the glasses
sitting right there,
less than a block from my house.
That'll teach you. You need to shop local.
So that tells you, shop local. But we do things like that. Then also in the fall, we have the county's fair. The county fairgrounds are actually in the city of Springfield. It runs for a week. We have a pretty good fair parade that starts off the fair. We shut down Main Street again, and we start downtown, and the parade ends at the fairgrounds. So that brings in a lot more people to Springfield. Usually have pretty good rides and good displays, something we all enjoy.
I've got a few questions I've asked of guests before, just to kind of get a feel for the town and the characteristics. Now, in most places, in small towns especially, there's often a person or maybe a group that kind of has outsized influence. And usually that person is not necessarily an elected official. But that's a person that if you've got a new initiative, if you're going to have to change something or stop doing something, maybe there's going to be a big change. You may want to talk with that person in advance and get their support or their feedback. So if there is a person, if there be such a person or a group in Springfield, who would that be?
I honestly can't think of any one person or any one group that has that type of control or influence.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. Council tends to listen to people on the street. They may have individual friends they listen to. But one thing that we have is apathy. We have very, very few people that attend our council meetings. So with no input, council more or less votes on issues. They bring up issues. And they do what they think best for Springfield with no outside influence.
So that actually gives me a great segue into another question I've asked before. You're talking about meetings and kind of low attendance. That's not necessarily unusual for a small town especially. Osceola doesn't have a full council room just for a regular meeting. So in small towns, you know, a lot of times it's pretty quiet at council meetings, your business meetings,
or
public hearings. But has there been an issue that kind of brought people out of the woodwork, or maybe there was something provocative that happened in one of those meetings? Anything like that? What is it that gets people coming out? All of a sudden the chairs are full and maybe it was a surprise.
Usually we only have maybe two or three people at the council meetings.
Right.
That includes the fire chief, my wife, and maybe the press. But we have had issues in the past. We may have a zoning issue. We're rezoning something and the people from that neighborhood may show up. Sometimes they get fairly vocal, but the only meeting or issue that I remember since I've been here, we had a plant, a manufacturer that moved into the county a couple of years ago, and they're in the county industrial park that we provide water and sewer services to. They requested that we give them water, which was not a problem, but they also requested sewer service. Our wastewater treatment plant is on Ebenezer Creek, which is a historic creek. It's been named an official byway. Scenic byway. A lot of people live along the creek. They want to maintain the integrity of it. Since this is a chemical plant that came in and some of their byproducts or waste products may not be beneficial to maintaining a pristine creek area, Well, the DOT had to have an official hearing before they could issue them a pretreatment permit so that they could send the wastewater to us. They had it at a county facility because that was the only thing that was large enough. And it was just a huge crowd showed up, some of them very, very hostile, nobody willing to listen. It was not a fun meeting, even though it was not a city meeting. It was held by the EPD, the Environmental Protection Division.
Right.
When it came to a vote with the city of Springfield, we had a public hearing on it, and looking at our council chamber, which only seats probably 50 to 60 people, we were a little worried about the overload. You don't want to start a meeting and then have the state fire marshal come in and shut down the meeting because it's overloaded. So we actually advertised the meeting, the public hearing, and our follow-up meeting where we voted on it. We moved them to the county facility, to the county commissioner's office.
Mm-hmm. Had more seating.
Had much more seating. And we probably only had 25 people at the meeting. So it works both ways.
Yeah.
The meetings that you think are going to have a huge crowd, you have almost nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only time since I've been here that we've actually thought that we had to move a meeting off-site because of the crowd.
Yeah. Let me ask this, shifting a little bit. If you talked about so many things, the historic site, the living history site, and other things that Springfield has, you've got some good things going on in your downtown. But if someone were only going to have one day they could only see or experience one thing in Springfield, what would you want to make sure that they, whether that's a historic site or a festival or an event of any kind, what would you want to make sure someone got to see or do in Springfield?
Not thinking about anybody's special interest, for example, canoeing or kayaking on the creek or touring an old church from the 1700s. If there were only one thing, I would consider it to be the Springfield Fall Festival because that gives you a good feel for downtown. It has the merchants and the vendors that set up on the street. We have a concert. Springfield is a great little town to walk around. You can walk to the historic site. There's just so much to do. on that one day, if there was only one thing to do, I would say come to Springfield for the Fall Festival.
All right.
And this year it's on November the 9th.
Good plug. Well, Mayor, as we kind of close this out, I just want to give you the opportunity, like I do every other guest, to speak directly to audience and tell them why they should come visit or maybe even come move to Springfield, Georgia.
Well, for one thing, Springfield is a city of, very friendly people. We have a sense of community. People walk the streets day and night. It's safe. People feel safe in town. We have the theater. There's so many things to do in Springfield. You walk around town, you see people on their front porch, you stop and talk with them. It brings back something maybe from the 1950s, almost like a Mayberry. But it's the sense of a hometown feel that I think makes Springfield special. And since I've been here all my life, I feel like I can speak from the heart. And that's what I feel about, what I really appreciate about Springfield is the small hometown feel.
Well, Mayor Barty Alderman, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you for coming and come back.
All right.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Barty Alderman for talking with me. Thanks again to EOM Operations for sponsoring this episode, as well as the other two episodes in this series. We hope you'll join us next time for the final episode in the series where we visit the small town of Midway, Georgia. As always, we thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Southern Mercantile, and Coke Industries for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production that tells the stories of America's great small towns. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there and sometimes exploring issues that affect small towns everywhere. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonant Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can hang out with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the towns we visit by stopping by our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We love to show you all the small towners out there, some great images from the small towns we visit, and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in and the places you hear about on our podcast. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you real soon.
Stand adjourned.